baby, stay with me. Love game, intuition, play the cards with spades to start.
And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's in his heart.
Oh, oh.
And I will be calling Jack to see if he's sleeping, is he dreaming? If he's dreaming, is he dreaming of me?
Hello there.
Good evening.
Are we on the radios already?
We are live.
All right. What song did you play? Was it terrible?
It probably, you would have thought it was terrible. Yes. It's a mashup of Lady Gaga's Poker Face, but just with. Chris Walken did a spoken word version of Poker Face, and then Cartman did a version of it, so it was just kind of all three of those mashed together.
Did you say Chris Walken like you're on a nickname basis with him?
My buddy Chris, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, he prefers
how you been,
Topher.
Mr. Spellet?
Chris
Walken.
Yeah, he prefers Topher. Not Chris. So if I were really on a familiar basis with him, I'd call him Topher Walken.
I see. So you call him Chris as sort of an honorific.
Yeah. Dude, that honor was honorific. I'm worn the fuck out, man. Winter in Minneapolis is not for the faint of heart, and faint of heart is entirely what I am.
Oh, yeah? How so? Are you having to shoo through the snow uphill both ways to get provisions every day?
No, it's
more...
You
gotta buy hot water for your baby or something?
I had to buy bath water for the baby, and then I had to buy another baby. But, no, the melting snow on my roof in the back of the house formed a dam made out of ice that was about a foot thick, and it went about 5 feet up the roof. And when that happens, the water that's supposed to be draining off the roof kind of pools and goes back under the shingles and into your house. So I had to climb a ladder and just claw at the ice with a claw hammer until it was all broken up. Then I had to go shovel my front walk, and I had to shovel the plow, kind of plowed my car in, had to shovel that, and there was a lot of things involving moving around large quantities of frozen water today.
You don't have one of those lawnmower things that, like, blows snow into your neighbor's yard?
No, I can't see the point. I think that's for...
You could try using a regular lawnmower for that.
I could. Maybe I could just modify a regular lawnmower. I could make it so like,
There's nothing a snow shovel can do that, like sort of dual-wielded blow torches can't do better.
Well, that's true. I'll keep that in mind for next time.
I feel like if I were in your situation with the roof, I would probably just heed the Bloodhound Gang's advice. And if I don't need no water, which I clearly don't, on my roof because it's going to do damage to it, then I should just set it on fire and let it burn.
You know, there's nothing you want around your house more than fire.
Yeah, I mean, how else are you going to light your weed, Mr. Skullhead?
That's true.
If not off of the charred remains of your roof.
Yep. Yeah, there wasn't really anything fun that I did in the past week or anything to talk about other than just moving snow and ice around.
Where do you gotta go that you need a car?
My wife has school. I gotta take her to class.
What? Ow.
Yeah.
I thought she went to school on the internet. I thought she went to the school of hard knocks, or did she fall down the stairs?
She goes to the school of Fort Knox.
Oh.
She learns how to keep me from stealing her gold. It's also known as Leprechaun School.
I didn't think they had to go to school. I thought leprechauns were just sort of born or sprung a hole from the skulls of their parent leprechauns with complete knowledge of how to hide their gold. Because otherwise it seems like, you know, the time when you really need to keep your gold is when you're young so that interest can accrue, so that when you're an old leprechaun you have enough gold that it's worth stealing. And if you were a young, inexperienced leprechaun constantly losing your gold to any thieves that came by, you know, it seems like you didn't really never get a foothold.
No, as
in
it
the
is,
leprechaun-y.
You have to guard your lucky charms when you're a young leprechaun. And then you use those lucky charms to pay for school.
Mm.
Yeah. And yet you borrow gold from the older leprechauns so that you can go to school. So by the time you're, like, getting your own gold in the world, you're paying most of it back to the old leprechauns.
I guess the special needs leprechauns who are incapable of guarding their gold probably just get shipped off to some sort of lepra colony.
Oh.
So, yeah, there's been work and stuff, and I don't think anything particularly interesting happened. I had a real lucky streak at a casino the other night. I tweeted about it.
Yeah, I don't know if you should tell people you're taking their money and going gambling.
Oh, come on.
When
I'm
you
taking
go to
some
the
of their money
club.
That was paid to me in salary, and I went and gambled a little bit. I went to dinner, and I you know, my seed money for gambling was less money than dinner cost. So I'm allowed to eat, right? Can I tell our player base that I used their money to buy food?
Only if it's crusts of bread and glasses of water.
Yeah, that's true. So I have this thing that I do, not because it's like a system, but because it makes playing blackjack more exciting for me.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, I start out at the minimum bet, and if I win a hand, I increase my bet by whatever unit. In this case, it was like $5. And then if I win, I increase it again. And if I win, I increase it again. And if I win, I increase it again. And I keep doing that until I lose. And then you know, I've lost a section of what I've already won, but, you know, it's not like I'm really risking more because I'm only risking winnings, right?
Right, right.
And did that and just won 11 times in a row. I had a stretch of 3 blackjacks in a row. And I wasn't really paying attention. I was also kind of drunk. And I looked down at the bet and I'm like, damn, there's a lot of money in that pile. And I counted back. I'm like, how many hands must I have won in a row for my bet to be that amount? And I realized that it was 10. So I'm like, you know what? I'm totally going to win this hand, and then I'm going to walk away because 11 is a better story. And boy, didn't I win it. Didn't I win that hand.
That's pretty excellent.
Yeah, no, it was pretty exciting. They just opened this casino on the Indian reservation. The Cherokee people, Mr. Skull had the Cherokee tribe.
I heard that they were too proud to live, but they were also too proud to die. But they weren't.
Too proud to live. I think so proud to live, so proud to die.
Oh, I thought it was too, like, I thought that whole thing was like they were too proud to be allowed to live, but then they were too proud to die.
Oh, maybe it. Yeah, maybe that is it. I don't know. Like, was it a? I feel like that was in the 70s though, when it was like. I don't know, too proud to be allowed to live seems like an imperialist thing. Like, wow, we can't leave these guys alive. They're too proud.
I think he was saying, historically speaking, was what the guy was talking about, though.
Oh, I see.
But, yeah, you know. Yeah,
apparently in the 70s when everybody loved Indians?
Yeah. I think that, yeah, watching the Super Bowl on Sunday, which I do because I do enough gay things in a year that I need to watch the Super Bowl to kind of shore myself up. Apparently, we are in the 70s again. Either that or hipster culture is officially dead because it's been appropriated by the mainstream. Because goddamned if every single ad that had men between the ages of 20 and 40, they were all like greasy-haired, 70s, clothes-attired, hipster-looking douchebags. Every single man jack of them. Ironic mustaches and greasy hair and fucking headbands and, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a judiciously executed ironic mustache, Mr. Skullhead.
There is if it's selling me Bud Light.
Okay. You know, I wanted to talk about some of the Super Bowl commercials because there's not enough of that going on in the podcasts and that I listen to and the comment threads in Metafilter. You know, Mr. Skullhead, I have a disease. I have a disease that the primary symptom is that I read Metafilter, and if I see a story that I think is going to be filled with, like, feminist nerd rage, I have to go in and read every single comment.
Wow.
So here's something that I want to talk to you about. You in particular, because you and I think, have radically different beliefs and methodologies in terms of our approach to relationships with women. There seems to be a lot of, even in like the AV club, which I would not have expected to really feel this way, there is a lot of like sort of outrage at the misogynistic tone of a couple of Super Bowl commercials in particular. And I, you know, Mr. Skullhead, I would never be accused of being the kind of guy who has not frequently been accused of being a misogynist.
Right, right.
Just no one would bother accusing me of that because everybody knows better, right?
Sure.
Accusations fly left and right, but not accusations like that. And I think that the two commercials in particular that they're talking about are the one where it's like the guy being dragged around by his girlfriend shopping and how that guy should grow a pair of balls and buy a portable television so that he can watch the Super Bowl while he's shopping with his girlfriend.
Right.
And then the other one is that Dodge Charger commercial where it's the guys that and this has been compared in like every place that I've seen anybody talking about this. It's been compared to like American Psycho.
Huh.
Just in terms of like what the just sort of dead-eyed stare on these guys, but where it's basically like the guy is talking about all of these things that he does all day that he doesn't want to do, and because he does those things, he's going to drive a Dodge Charger, and the Dodge Charger is then titled Man's Last Stand.
Right.
And there, it just seems to be agreed upon across the board that these commercials are fundamentally misogynistic. And I fail to understand how that is the case on a few levels, and I wanted to maybe explore those levels with you because I thought maybe you could shed some light on the situation. First of all, Mr. Skullhead, how do you feel about those commercials?
That's kind of funny because I was actually thinking as I was watching those, like, man, we shouldn't talk about this on the radio show, because I'm going to say they're kind of anti-women and they made me uncomfortable, and Jake is going to make fun of me for that. And
no, I would make fun of you about something. Because another thing that I've never been accused of is being a guy who will not make fun of you at the drop of a fucking hat.
Hmm.
But, so, here's the thing. Like, you... I think people would agree, and this, like, on some levels this is weird, but I think people would say that you are, like, just more respectful of people in general than I am, and could more specifically say that you're more respectful of women than I am. I feel like, to some extent, I have the same feeling about being accused of being misogynist that I do about being accused of being a racist, right? Where I just sort of fundamentally disagree that certain things that are characterized as racist actually represent racist beliefs. Huh. And kind of the same deal with misogyny. But give me, I'm sorry, I asked you a question and then I interrupted your answer as early as I could. I'm glad that you were also thinking about, even though you were thinking about it in a negative context, about talking about those on the radio, because, you know, you're exactly the guy I wanted to talk to about this. And why not try and use this conversation as an opportunity to entertain people who really want information about Kingdom of Loathing?
Right, exactly. I, you know, I didn't see that Flow TV commercial. I'm hoping that you can, that Flow TV will become a service that you can get on your iPad, because then it won't be misogynistic at all. So I can't really speak to that one. The Charger ad, you know, to me it just started out as Fight Club, Redu, just like, look at all the shit we have to do. We get up early, we go to work, feel the rage inside us, poor people who have jobs that we go to and get money enough to have a house. And I was like, you know, that's kind of bullshit. Like, in Fight Club, I think you were also kind of invited to say, oh, you poor guy, you have to live in this really nice apartment with all this shit. Isn't your life so empty? I feel like Fight Club was making that comment, and here this commercial's playing it seriously. But by the time it got to the end, it really was like, anything that the woman in my life asks me to do is such a fucking chore that the only way I can deal with it is to get in my car and drive away. It's just like, really? I will be nice to your mother, and for that I deserve a new car. Fuck you. Just, you know, these are normal things that a normal person would ask you to do. I don't know, I can see it. I can see the, like, the female version of that ad, and it's just, it's sexist and tiresome, either way. I wouldn't say it's misogynistic, like, anti-woman, but it is that kind of, like, boy, women, guys, am I right? So, you know, it came across as angry, so that was kind of off-putting, but I'm not sure it was so much about hatred of women, but just about that, like, tedious, why do I have to put the toilet seat down? What a terrible chore. Bullshit.
Right. Huh. So you do believe that it was, like, fundamentally sexist?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess, to me, like, I certainly feel like it was stupid. Like, I think that both of those commercials are dumb, right? And, like, the other one that was held up as being... this one was so stupid that the primary complaint about it was that it was stupid and not that it was sexist. Was the like book club Budweiser commercial where it's like, you know, this guy's like, oh, I'm gonna leave while you girls are having your stupid bullshit book club. Oh wait, you got beer? I'm gonna sit down and act like a douche, you know?
Right.
Like, and then I'm gonna hit on some other girl in front of my girlfriend, right? Like, and so that like, you know, that sort of doesn't make anyone look good, I guess.
Right.
I mean, if anything, the women are the people in that commercial that you're meant to relate to. Also, there were a lot of people complaining in the Metafilter thread, like, what the fuck? Don't they realize that women watch the Super Bowl? And that is such an immaterial argument to me that it's like, you know, like, I think that the people who have spent millions of dollars figuring out how to target people with advertisements probably know exactly who's watching the Super Bowl, and you know they've chosen to target this, right? And it's like, I don't think they care what you think, and it's like very much their prerogative to not care what you think, right?
Yeah.
So I have a hard time. I have a hard time getting my panties in a twist about that. So the TV one was like this guy being dragged around the mall, not being allowed to watch the Super Bowl because he's, you know, like holding shit for his girlfriend who is shopping at the mall, right? And like, I don't know if the characterization of the girl is pretty unflattering, right? I don't know that an unflattering characterization of a person represents a prejudice against whatever broad categories that person belongs to. But, like, that's a question, right? I mean, like, if is it okay to have a commercial with a stupid black guy in it? Is it okay to have a commercial with a fat Mexican in it? Or are you saying, by saying that, oh, man, aren't black people stupid or aren't Mexicans fat, you know?
Yeah, but in, like, that particular ad, I think they're clearly saying, hey, guys, aren't women just totally on your case and always making you do shit you don't want to do? And to me, it's not just like, isn't this woman totally unpleasant, so this guy should have a TV? It's, hey guys, aren't women just a pain in the ass? By the way, like, I think that is equally sexist against men as it is against women, because it's saying, like, hey guys, you know how you're complete children incapable of controlling your impulses or, you know, making adult decisions? And you know how women are always trying to stop you from that? That sucks. Like, plague on both your houses.
Yeah. I don't understand. I frequently have a hard time seeing a commercial for something other than what is actually on the screen, right? And so that might be that, like, I don't really have a head for symbolism. I don't really have I don't have a particularly nuanced approach to interpretation of commercials, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to me, I feel like what that commercial is an acknowledgement that, like, see, I think it's stupid. So let's say that there is this fundamental problem where women are always making you do shit that you don't want to do, right? That the solution to that is a TV that you carry around with you is just sort of nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. So, ineffective as a commercial, I think, even if you take its precepts at face value. But, I guess, is it sexist to acknowledge that going shopping with your girlfriend is boring?
If you're couching it in terms of, isn't your girlfriend a total bitch to make you go shopping with her?
But were they? I mean, like, they were not couching it in terms of her being, like, that particular ad was couched in terms of him, like, dude, knock it off. Fucking watch television. You know, the Super Bowl's on, fucking watch it. And, like, in my mind, that particular situation, like, if you are a guy who cares about the Super Bowl, and if your girlfriend won't let you stay home and watch the Super Bowl and wants you instead to go shopping with her, which I feel like, you know, is boring, and it's, like, sort of disrespectful to do that, that the thing to do is man up and watch the Super Bowl, right? And, like,
or switch girlfriends, you know, if this has happened before.
In my mind, that is the deeper message of the thing, if there is one, right? But like, the notion, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, if you have the kind of girlfriend that's going to make you go shopping instead of watching the Super Bowl, you should either, you know, watch the Super Bowl anyway and deal with the repercussions, or you should get a new girlfriend.
Right. I also just think that getting all butthurt about a commercial is a bad idea to begin with. They're all stupid. They're all trying to aim at the very most simplest parts of your brain. They reduce everybody to kind of insulting caricatures. They're just trying to sell you shit, and a lot of the time they're trying to generate buzz by pissing you off so that other people can see them sell you shit.
Oh man, are we part of the problem now instead of part of the solution?
Yeah. I was more concerned with the multiple, like, greasy-haired hipster douchebags in their fucking brightly colored briefs wandering around.
Yeah, there was apparently a lot of pantslessness.
Like, did they do the research and find out the guys who watch the Super Bowl really want to see pasty, greasy-haired fucks in their dumbass hipster underwear? Because really?
When did this really thing catch on? It was like...
For serious?
I feel like there was... I know, right? And then now there's like, really?
That's from... Really? I got it from my big sister.
From your big sister?
Yeah.
Or from some television program called My Big Sister?
My Big Fat Greek Sister, I think it was.
Boy. You know, and the other one, I guess I can understand in the Dodge commercial, like... It, to me, that did not feel like a laundry list of grievances directed at women.
The second half of it was pretty solidly.
Well, sure. But, I mean...
It came right back
does
to
it
the, like...
Does it matter if the grievances are legitimate? I guess that's a question. Does it matter, in the context of evaluating this for, like, gender sensitivity, whether or not the grievances are legitimate?
I think that's going to vary on a case-to-case basis.
I mean, I feel like maybe this whole arrangement, the notion, the like, just sort of social concept that this is playing to, is like born of a not particularly sensitive view of things, which is like you do things that you don't want to do to make your wife happy, like taking out the trash and, you know. Letting her tell you that your friends are assholes or whatever, right. And in exchange, she will do things that she doesn't want to do, like have sex with you. And I feel like that is outmoded, and that is not coming from a particularly sensitive place. It's not, you know, I don't know.
I think if your wife was always trying to stick things into your body that you didn't want to have go into your body, then you could kind of make those things equal. I kind of think that, like, my answer to most of that ad was just, suck it up, buttercup, or live alone. Like, anytime you're living with anybody, they're going to do things, you know, you're going to have to do things you don't want to do to be in the company of another human being. That is just how it works.
Like, okay, so, I mean, maybe this is like a fundamental difference between your and my approach to things, right? Like, I don't necessarily take that as a foregone conclusion.
You know, when I'm hanging out with my friend Adam, sometimes he wants to play Xbox, and sometimes I want to watch a movie. So one of us is not going to get what we want in that thing. Or, you know, if we are going to sit down and watch a movie, maybe there's one he wants to see that I don't, there's one that I want to see that he doesn't, so we pick a third one, right? There's this trade-off. Like, as soon as there's another person involved in your life, your needs are going, your wants are going to diverge at some point.
I mean,
I don't know.
And so
you put up with that shit. Jeez.
I really, like, I'm trying to remember the last time I felt that way in a situation, and it actually, like, sort of caused a change in behavior, and I, I'm really kind of drawing a blank.
Huh.
Right? Like, and I don't know, you know... I guess there have not been a lot of times when it's like, hey, do you want to watch a movie? And then me and somebody else commit to sitting down and watching a movie, and then there is like a disagreement about what movie to watch, right? Uh-huh. It's more like, I mean, I guess I consider like, hey, do you want to watch movie X? No, I'd rather watch movie Y. And if I didn't want to watch it, I'd be like, I don't want to watch that. Never mind.
Right.
Right, so, I mean, so we're just not going to watch a movie together right now,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, it's like I guess to me, it is hard to think of the natural order of things as being this sort of relentless series of compromises,
but maybe
I end up a smear on the snow like Rorschach because of my inability to compromise, right? Okay. But like,
well, that's the same thing though. Is that I don't think that it's a series of compromises. I think the commercial reduced it to that. Like, I can imagine that dude's girlfriend doing the same thing, giving the same commercial with just a different monologue.
Like, I so I guess here is a question that I have. What is it? What in the context of a marriage does a woman do that she doesn't want to do because a man wants her to? Right, like, because that commercial could have listed another 100 things, right? And I cannot imagine the female, and perhaps this is just a fundamental inability to understand women. I cannot imagine the female version of that commercial, because I feel like it would be like, oh, he wants me to suck his dick. Well, you know, like, it's that concept, I think, is born of some just like notion that women don't enjoy sex on a fundamental level, which I feel like maybe is a little sexist, right?
Well, just to say that women should try and enjoy sex because there are times when you have to do things you don't want to do that don't involve sex with them. Is that I sex is in a different category for me. You know, like, say Jess watches the baby during my music radio show, which is something that I do voluntarily just because it's fun and I like doing it. So Jess watches Ollie that whole time so that I can do that show.
So would you characterize Jess as a woman who does not want to raise her children?
If she's tired and she has homework to do, she would rather me be taking care of the baby so that she can do the things that she wants to do right at that moment? Yeah. That's part of having the kid, is sometimes you just want to hand the kid off and do something else. And in that time, she can't. But she chooses
But I feel like that is, and you know, I don't have kids, right? I don't have kids, and so maybe in the context of a relationship with children, which I have never been in, maybe in that context you could list. And you know, this is what like, say, whenever there was an argument like this on Loveline, this is what Dr. Drew would always say whenever Adam would talk about, like, you know, like, this sort of fundamental problem in relationships between men and women is that women are always asking men to do shit that they don't want to do, and men are resentful of that because they don't tend to do that in the opposite direction. Drew said, wait till you have kids, and then you will figure out where the balance lies, right? I would argue that you and your wife take pretty much equal roles in the unpleasant aspects of the raising of your child. And so that kind of falls off the equation for me, right? I mean, I guess I don't understand why. All right, taking out the garbage sucks, right?
Uh-huh.
Taking out the garbage sucks. So why can't both of you take out the garbage?
Right? Yeah, exactly.
To me, which is like, so I can imagine a man complaining, my wife gets mad at me if I don't take out the garbage every day. And to me, I'm like, well, fuck her. You know, she can take out the garbage herself every once in a while. Right?
But like in our relationship, so she cleans the bathroom and picks up the toys and does the laundry, and I do the dishes and take out the trash. So like, there's a division of labor that we've set up that's an equal division. So if the trash piles up and she gets mad, that's kind of fine. Like, if I don't have any clean socks, that I'm legitimately mad about that.
Okay. You know, sure. I guess.
Part of,
you know what?
Part of her,
you know,
monologue what, would be...
I have lived with a lot of women in my life. I've lived with a handful of women in my life. And I have never lived, and this has been a serious sort of a problem for me. I don't mind taking out the trash. I don't think of taking out the trash as a thing that, like, a woman that I'm living with is making me do, right? Yeah. Like, I do not experience this particular thing as a grievance, but I hate doing laundry. And I have never lived with a woman who was willing to do any housework at all.
Yeah, I think you've got a corrupt sample base there.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe this is going to start to explain my feelings about things. I got a not particularly good track record, Mr. Skullhead.
I don't think that's any fault of yours, but
oh, come on.
I
aim pretty low.
I feel like in any particular week, say, maybe not a day, but a week, Jess would have an equal amount of things that she could say, I did this and that I didn't want to do, so I get to drive the Dodge Charger. Like, because the first half of the fucking commercial would just be, I had to get up and go somewhere when I wanted to stay home and in bed. I had to be polite to people because they were in a position of authority over me and I would rather have not been polite to them.
Right, I came home pissed and I wanted to yell at my husband for no reason, but I didn't. Half of those grievances are not things that have anything to do with a woman, right?
Yeah, but like I'm saying,
I do not think it is a controversial statement, the I will eat fruit with breakfast. I think I do not enjoy eating food that I do not enjoy.
Right.
Is fraught with any sort of harm to anyone, right?
But I also think that that part of it is just reductive for men. It's just like it's such a chore to have to make grown-up decisions about what's good for us. You know, like, I deserve a new car because I don't eat pizza every day even though I want to. Like, no. You deserve to, you know, maybe have a job and an adult life because you're capable of making adult decisions, but that's not special. It's just, yeah, for me, the misogyny in ads, whether it's there or not, is completely irrelevant in the face of the fact that men are always fucking 5-year-olds in 30-year-old bodies. Like, stupid and impulsive, and the female characters always have to be the mom because they're always the kid. She's like, oh, another commercial where guys are dumb. Fantastic.
Well, sometimes guys have mustaches.
And I resent those implication in most of those Bud Light commercials that Bud Light is delicious.
Yeah, the idea that...
It's like a sought-after beverage. I feel like trying to convince
somebody that Bud Light is something that you should drink is a far worse crime against humanity than even if they were actively encouraging a Holocaust against women. I would still find recommendation of Bud Light to be the greater crime.
It's like, I just put an axe in this bitch's head, and I'm going to relax with a Bud Light. Like, no.
Oh, God! How could you?
I predict that in a couple of years, the Super Bowl ads are going to be naked obese men just going, bitch, cunt, fucking axe wound, bitch, cunt, and then drinking a Bud Light.
You think?
Yeah, and who wins in that scenario, really? Well, like fat dudes, because they usually don't get to do naked model work. They don't get to do naked models either.
You know something that sort of... There were the same people complaining about how misogynistic the Dodge commercial was, and how, like, saccharine and corny the Google ad was. Huh. And I was just thinking, what the fuck do you want?
Right?
If both of those things are objectionable to you, what the fuck kind of... I mean, and, you know, maybe they say, well, advertising is an insult. I don't want there to be any commercials at all. Which, you know, fair enough. I mean, you know, I guess while that is frustrating to me on one level, I can certainly understand, like, oh, commercials are stupid in general, so I don't like any of them. You know, at least you're approaching it from a consistent way. I thought that the Google commercial was cute.
Yeah.
And, you know, far be it for me to like something because it's cute.
And the inevitable parodies are just like, how hard is it to throw something together that makes fun of that commercial?
Yeah.
That's not clever.
I don't know. It's like, yeah, making I just fun like of the, Twilight. The, like, long distance relationship advice being backspaced and then jobs in Paris was like, that was a moment right there. That's the kind of dude a dude should be.
Right. I think that was why the Google CEO was saying, guys, wait till you see this ad. Cause, like, wait till you see this ad. It's going to be the one, like, drop of pure humanity in this sea of bullshit and Bud Light.
Do you think he knew?
Probably.
Do you think that if you had the choice between being dropped into a sea of bullshit or a sea of Bud Light, that it would be an easy decision for you to make?
I would go with the Bud Light, because, you know, it does have a modicum of alcohol in it.
Right.
Although, bullshit.
Speaking of which, Mr. Skullhead, I'm looking forward to hanging out with you in Florida.
That's going to be gonna be freaking awesome is what that's going to be.
Are we going to, are you gonna do the drinks around the world with me?
Yeah, what I was thinking is Saturday, I actually do want to go to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I really want to go. You know, there were a lot of people saying, like, fuck the Magic Kingdom, that shit's for homos. But I don't believe them.
It's like, well, gentlemen, I am that homo. But then Sunday, I thought we'd do the drinking around the world. That's
that does seem, that does seem to be everybody's plan. My concern with that is that I did it on a Sunday before, and they have abbreviated hours on Sunday. So if we're going to do it on Sunday, we really should get there when it opens, because it's not, you know, I've only done it once, so I cannot say that it's more fun if you're more relaxed, but I only have to imagine that it is like everything else, like, say, banging your mom. The more relaxed you are, the more fun it is.
Do you ever bang my mom when you don't want to?
Sometimes. Hmm. You know, and then she's always making fun of my friends.
Right. So what you need is a charger. It was kind of funny to me that the... I thought the rejected ad with the guys making out was pretty funny. And I don't understand why that didn't make it. Like, the Snickers ad where the guys accidentally kiss and then rip out their chest hair, that was fine. But when they're actually going for it, it's bad. I do think
that... It was like the ad was rejected for some gay dating service, right?
Yeah. I do think that that site submitted that ad knowing it would be rejected. Because now a whole bunch of people know about it that didn't before.
Look, but, like, I feel like... This is not justifiable, really. But, like... Okay, it sucks that... the general population of the U.S. is going to be weirded out by seeing two dudes kiss on TV, right? But it's a fact, and so, like, you know, you're just going to cause problems for yourself if you don't reject that ad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, I mean, it is very difficult. Like, we've sort of made our bed with capitalism, and I feel like that's the sort of perils of democratization of entertainment, right? Like, and not even democratization of entertainment through, like, people actually being able to participate in it, but, like, ads are going to be targeted at the people who are watching, and so they're going to be targeted at the people who are watching, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Were you offended by the... there was the commercial where, what's her name, the stupid girl from Transformers?
Megan, like, Fox.
Takes a picture of herself in the bathtub, and then so I saw somebody outraged at the sort of insinuation that a teenage boy would masturbate.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man. And then the two gay guys slapping each other, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I guess, like, and again, it's one of those things where, like, you know, all the gay guys I know probably also thought it was pretty funny.
Right.
Yeah, so it's very difficult for me to imagine why somebody would be offended by that. I don't know.
And again, I mean, I guess, smart, all right,
so the assumption is, oh man, she's so hot that even gay dudes want to fuck her.
Right.
Which, you know, like... I guess...
That's again, kind of a dumb sentiment.
Cultural context, but, you know, in which somebody might believe that that's the truth.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's doing some harm, but, like, eh.
Whatever. Well, like, it's also... expecting commercials to be these, like, paragons of civic responsibility or something, which, of course, they're not. They're trying to sell stuff. Duh. I don't know. And people were acting like there was some free speech issue with the gay ad being rejected, and, like, no. Much like the people who post on our forums, you need to understand that free speech means the government can't stop you. It doesn't mean that if you have the money, they have to run your ad.
Right.
On their venue.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, it is a perfect example of free speech in action. Because it's the people, you know, who are actually, you know, the people who actually own the means of transmission of this entertainment saying exactly what they want to say and not saying things that they don't want to say.
And what they're saying is... thank God you didn't abort that guy because he's a football player now.
Yeah. I demand equal time for pro-abortion.
Right.
Like, I just sort of want to do a PSA, which is like, you know, I know you got plenty of money and, you know, you've already got your nursery furnished and the kids' college fund set away, but have you considered abortion? I mean, it is an option.
There are a lot of people on the planet.
Yeah. Zero population growth, you know? Like, it's a goal.
Don't you think Hitler's mother wishes that she had an abortion?
Yeah. I think she's dead.
Yeah, but from beyond the grave.
Okay.
Or maybe she was like, maybe she hated Jews even more than Hitler did, so she's like, thank God I didn't have that abortion. Think how many more Jews there would be around.
Yeah. did you have any other opinions about the Super Bowl commercials? You know, I didn't even watch the Super Bowl. I had sort of forgot that I went and got coffee at the coffee stand, and the guy behind the counter was like, got plans for the Super Bowl? And I was like, no.
Yeah, I watched it with...
That was a great story, by the way. It totally went somewhere.
Yeah.
I cleaned my garage that day.
Mm.
Yeah. My garage is pretty clean now.
You deserve a Dodge Charger.
I do. You know what? I cleaned my garage because I wanted my garage to be clean. I didn't let no woman tell me I needed to clean the garage. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, here's the thing. Here is probably why I will never be in a fundamentally satisfying relationship, is that I don't, you know, I'm not going to do a bunch of shit that I don't want to do.
Right.
Like, just in general, you know? Like, apart from, so like, you know, like you say about just sort of like general grown-up responsibilities, right? Like, I do have a responsibility to like get up and go to work, right? Like when I had jobs especially, you know, but now it's like, now I have an even greater responsibility because I've like got all these people working for me who I need to make sure that they continue to have jobs, and it's like I've got all these like sort of like, you know, customers relying on me to provide an entertainment experience for them. So like I have a responsibility to do these things, and like I can get tired of it, you know, and I can complain about the weight of the responsibility, but what I cannot do is say that somehow I deserve credit for doing it, right? Like you don't get to do that, right? But I'm like, I do not feel that I have a similar responsibility to like sit there while somebody talks about what an asshole my friend is.
Right.
Right? Like, that is just not a thing that I'm going to do for anybody.
Right. And in normal people world, that wouldn't be something that your significant other would do. And if they did it, you would say, hey, I don't like it when you do that, and they would stop.
Wow. You have been around a completely different category of ladies.
I guess so. Have you only been dating women that were invented by stand-up comedians?
Almost seems like it.
Were they from Venus?
No, seriously, I don't think that I've ever been in a relationship where somebody has done something that bothered me, and I said, hey, it bothers me when you do that, and then they stopped.
Huh.
I don't know. Maybe I'm only remembering the bad aspects of all of my relationships.
I'm remembering the badass pecs of all of your relationships.
Yeah, they did have a lot of badass pecs.
Yeah.
It's one thing, like, part of the reason that I maybe have a hard time relating to your, the context of your relationships with women is because I've only had relationships with dudes who are bodybuilders.
Oh, I see. I thought you were going to insult me by saying that you've had relationships with actual women.
Oh, no.
Whereas mine have
I think
been
your dead. Wife's a woman.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It's pretty elaborate fake, if not. Right. Or very talented plastic surgery surgeon. A plastic surgery surgeon is what they call those people, right?
I think
so. Professional plastic surgers.
Plastic surgers are things that are on a sewing machine and do something. I don't know what they do.
You know, Mr. Skullhead, all of your friends are assholes.
You know, it bothers me when you say that, and I wish you wouldn't say that.
Fuck you!
See, now we're communicating.
I know. You know who's from Mars, Mr. Skullhead? Men. And you know who's from Venus?
Venusians?
Gay men.
Oh. I thought gay men were from Uranus. Remember, folks, you can't say gayness without saying anus.
That's true. Somebody had talked about, we were discussing pegging and whether pegging could be used to mean just fucking in general, or whether it was explicitly meant fucking by a girl of a guy with a strap on.
I'm gonna.
What do you think? Have you ever heard somebody say like, "Oh man, I pegged that girl"?
No. So I think anybody who reads a lot of Dan Savage, which I definitely do, is gonna recognize pegging as a woman strapping something on.
You know, I feel like I would enjoy reading Dan Savage, but I don't know how to do it, Mr. Skullhead. How does one go about reading Dan? You know, this would normally be like just some bullshit contrived way for me to try to get, you know, a URL listed or whatever. Available online at minimumsafedistance.org. Huh. But I actually don't know, like, so the times that I have read Dan Savage are the times when I have eaten at this restaurant called Basta Pasta in Cambridge that was over by Fuzzle Faggot Ridge, yeah. And they had copies of whatever the weekly newspaper is in Boston. Does he have a the online?
Onion AV Club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, avclub.com is, it's in my daily web crawl. Like the thing that I do instead of drinking coffee. Just mm-hmm. look at a bunch of websites, and that's one of them. Yeah, the AV Club
like,
has.
Do you not like coffee, Mr. Okay. Skullhead?
No.
Is it because you're some sort of queer?
Takes too much work to make it taste like something I want to drink.
What? You know, where they do that work is at Starbucks.
No. Yeah, then I get something that's got so much sugar in it, it knocks me out.
Sugar?
Sugar.
Sugar? Who the fuck puts sugar in coffee?
People who like Ladies? Things that taste good. Diet man. Mountain Dew. Morning breakfast of champions.
Diet? Really? Diet Mountain Dew?
Yep.
Oh, man. So I was, like, I don't drink a whole lot of soda. I drink soda every once in a while now, right? Because I still like soda, and I don't want to give it up. And I was, I had a soda totally ruined for me. I went to Taco Bell, and I drove through, and I ordered a soda. And then I'm like, wow, this line is really long, and it's moving really slowly. I should maybe read the news. So I went to Google News on my phone to keep abreast of current events in the world. And what did I find but a study where two sodas a week significantly increases the risk of pancreatic cancer, as little as two sodas a week.
Yep.
And I'm like, ah, that's pretty cool.
Nothing but not like diet soda.
The shit you're about to enjoy is going to kill you.
Diet soda only increases your risk of Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah? Do they not? I thought that they were starting to at least suspect that diet soda had a lot of the same, like, insulin spike problems, because just the fact that it tastes sweet increases the production more so than they're actually, like, you actually consuming sugar. Like, you don't get as fat, but it's as bad for you in terms of getting diabetes.
Huh.
But I don't know. I mean, I could just be making that up. I definitely read it somewhere, but I might have read it in the Weekly World News. That's where I get most of my Weekly World News.
Are you sure it was a newspaper? Are you sure it wasn't nothing?
Yeah. I might have just made it. It might have just been a dream I had. Mm. It's almost sort of like, I don't know. I have a little bit of a philosophical problem with diet soda.
Huh. It's probably like, the same problem that I have with diet caffeine-free soda.
Yeah.
Which is just like, why are you drinking this beverage at all?
I mean, I guess, so my main problem is with people who are like, oh, I need to lose weight, so I'm going to switch to diet soda. Because, like, I feel like, in general, and I mean, I know that statistically, diet soda does nothing for the weight of a population, right? Like, the introduction of diet soda is entirely ineffective in lowering the sort of average weight of a group of people that sample. And to me, if you don't have the willpower to just stop drinking soda, if that's how you decide you're going to lose weight, then you're not going to stop eating cupcakes and overeating other stuff. Like, you're going to seek out the sugar in some other way. Whereas if you can just stop drinking soda, then you can probably stop doing other stuff too. Right?
Yeah, see, for me, it was more, I always feel like I have a dry mouth, so I always like to drink something. I like something that I'm drinking to have a flavor. Right. So I was drinking like a 6-pack of Coke a day. And when I switched to a 6-pack of Diet Coke a day, I ended up losing 20 pounds.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're the exception that proves the rule, Mr. Skullhead. I don't remember if we had this conversation. I learned about this on the Overthinking It podcast, available online at overthinkingit.com. But that phrase, like, whereas it interpreted literally doesn't really make any sense.
Right.
It is actually using prove in the sense of, like, test.
Yeah.
Like a proving ground, which I sort of never, like, I just always assumed that it was a dumb phrase as opposed to, like, a phrase that was being misinterpreted.
Right.
But it turns out it's just being misinterpreted.
Yeah. So that is that a phrase we should stop using, or?
I don't know. I mean, the exception that proves the rule is you know, this is a situation that really tests the mettle of this rule that we're trying to devise, right? So, like, we need to make sure that this rule can be applied to that situation. I don't know. LeBlanc wrote into the Twitter, what else do you incorporate into your daily web crawl? I need some new daily reading material. I'll answer that question from my perspective first. I have actually gotten myself pared down to a fairly limited number of things that I read. I've got like a handful of like MMO sort of pundit blogs that I read. I read Kill 10 Rats because that's a fairly slow trickle of fairly insightful stuff. Player versus Developer is another blog that I read. That guy plays KOL actually, so it's like cool to go there and see like, oh yeah, there's my game in the sidebar of this guy who's pretty smart and talks about video games. General interest internet stuff, I just read Metafilter and Boing Boing and Slashdot. And that's funny that I think of Slashdot as being general interest. What about you, Mr. Skullhead?
What are my web crawls? Sites.
What about
I
web visit? Crawl?
Web crawl, I don't visit. Web crawler, I do, because I have some extra calories that I need to get back after I drink all the diet soda.
Oh, throwing that right back in my face, are you?
Yeah. Let's see. Daily, Boing Boing, BB Spot, Cracked, AV Club, Gizmodo, Kingdom Forums, Twitter, Facebook.
Oh, you actually look at KOL every day?
Yeah.
That's nice to you.
Sometimes I even write stuff.
Cool.
Though not yet this week, because my wife has been deathly ill
for the past day and a half. Basically this week you've been doing a bunch of shit that you don't want to do because of your wife?
Yeah, in other news, I'm gonna get a new Dodge Charger.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Are Dodge Chargers even cool?
Yeah, they are. They're the only way you can regain the testosterone that you've lost by compromising with the world.
Yeah, no, I forgot.
Jeez.
Yeah. I used to follow Lore's stuff, but then he just stopped doing anything ever.
Yeah, I've got him on the Twitter, so whenever he puts something up. Yep.
Oh, you know what? What I finally did. I figured this out. I set CD Moyer to the task of sorting our Twitter followers by the number of followers that they have.
Huh.
It was just really like a vanity project to see what sort of celebrities like us. And the big winners there were MC Frontalot, which we already knew followed us, and Lore.
Hmm.
Where Lore follows us on Twitter. But I imagine Lore follows a lot of people on Twitter. He doesn't actually like us. And Telltale Games is official Twitter. Oh, so that's cool. I kind of wish that I had known that, because I would have tried to get a hold of whoever it is at Telltale Games, because I think that they're in San Francisco, and I would have liked to have gone to take a look at them. But yeah, I'd like to come take a look at you. Especially if you're a hot lady.
Hoi!
That's what I would have said. And I would have said it in exactly that accent, so that if it had been a hot lady, she would have not given me the time of day, I tell you.
She would have just gone shopping with you and made you hold stuff.
Yeah. You know, fuck that. Going shopping with girls is fucking boring. And if it's misogynistic to admit that, then color me misogynistic.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad that Jess only goes shopping when she needs items of clothing. Mm-hmm. Like, she knows better than to say, let's just go to the mall and look at stuff. So, I do feel bad, like, most of her
She knows better because she will throw you, or because you will throw her ass down the stairs if she tries that.
I feel kind of sorry for her, though, that she doesn't have a female friend who works normal hours, who can just, mm-hmm. like, run to the mall with her. Like, most of our friends don't have grown-up jobs, so they're working, you know, like, weekends and evenings. And
so you would say that most of your friends do not work in the adult industry?
I wouldn't say that.
Oh man, you know what you could do if you wanted to teach her a lesson at the mall is you could push her down an up escalator.
Wouldn't she just fall forever?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it, man. And then you can go watch the Super Bowl on your pod TV or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, thing is. Floating.
Every once in a while she might, you know, accidentally get a little too close to the top. Then you give her a little kick.
Just gotta keep the momentum going. Because there's no such thing as a perpetual motion machine.
Well, I mean, you know, the escalator runs on batteries. So it runs on batteries.
Yep, double A's.
That's how they do it in modern malls. Whenever you see an escalator that's not working, that's because the double A's ran down. Oh boy. Do you have a music break queued up?
I do.
I promise we'll take some questions from some dudes about some games.
Yeah, we gotta practice some restraint here. And if we don't want to, then we just get a Dodge Charger. But, when we get back, we won't talk about any more Super Bowl stuff. We will actually answer your questions. We promise. See you in about 15. Yeah, maybe closer to 20, but about 50. We'll be right back.
don't stop.
Oh, cause you can.
You won't.
You don't stop.
Oh, cause you can.
You won't.
And you don't stop.
Nothing could have got me.
I got the brand new shoes. You're guaranteed like you. Who? I'm on like that's a job. Yeah, it's a zoo. I'm a newlywed. I'm not a divorcee. And everything I do is fucking like Lee Dorsey.
Yeah.
Well, it's a thing and all the bell of 1, 2, 3.
Check.
If you want to do the rhyme, then come see me. I got the sound will fit with the unique fragment. I keep it on and on. It's never quit your time in.
Strictly handheld is the style of gold. Never rock the mic with the pantyhose. So step on my ear goggles and I'm ready to go. Cause at the boards is the man that calls
me. JVC.
Pull up at the function and you know I code that. To all the body people that are on my phone, Zach. I got my action, then my man John Boo. And I got mad hits like I was Rod Carew.
Because you can.
You won't.
And you don't stop.
Because you can.
You won't.
And you don't stop.
You know you can.
You won't. And you don't stop.
As I could have got you.
Ils sont les Beastie Boys.
On the track, I represent New York. I got it on my back. Say that we lost it, so I'ma bring it back. I love the dirty, dirty, cause show me love. The ladies start to bounce as soon as I hit the club. But in the Midwest, they love to take it slow. So when I hit the H, I watch them get it on the floor. And if you need it hypey, I take it to the Bay. Frisco to Sac Town, they do it every day. Compton to Hollywood, as soon as I hit LA. I'm in that low, low, I do what the Cali way. And when I hit the shy, people say that I'm fly. They love the way I dress, they like my attire. They love how I move the crowd from side to side. They ask me how I do it, and simply I reply.
Awesome,
this is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. Why, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. Catch me on the block. Every other day, another drop. 16 bars, 24 pop, 44 songs. Give me what you got. I'm in the drop of cars, fresh up off the lot. I'm gonna shut my doors down just so I can shop. If you need it, I could get it. Tell me what you need, you know I get them by the flock. I call my homie Black, meet me on the Ave. I hit Wash Heights with the money in the bag. We in the big spinning, see my pimpin' never drag. Find me with different women that you never had. For those who say they know me, know I'm focused on my cream. Play, you come between, you better focus on the beat. I keep it so clean, the way you see me lean. And when I say I'm hot, my this is what I mean. This is why I need, why I need. I'm the bomb, they love the way the charm. Hanging from the neck and compliments the arm, which compliments the ear, then comes the gear. So when I hit the room, the shorty stop and stare. Start to hate, rearrange their face. But little do they know, I keep them things by weight. Side eyes reply, nobody got this. Similar to Louise, cause I got the.
You got the pictures, I got the
hot, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot, hot, hot,
my
hot, cause I'm fly, he ain't cause he hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot.
Your friend will declares, don't be a dick. Your friend will.
And we're back. And I had fully intended for that song to be the song that we went out on, so that I could say, and now a new, the first single from MC Frontalot's new album, Zero Day, and play it that way, but oh well.
MC Frontalot's new album, Zero Day, is fucking great.
It really, really is. I was trying to think of a complimentary way to say it. Like, Final Boss, I felt, didn't grab me the way that his other work has. Like, it had fewer songs on there that really caught me the first time around.
Right.
And I've grown to enjoy it greatly, of course. But Zero Day just, yeah, goddamn, every single track.
Yeah, there's like no filler, basically.
I would say that it is all killer and no filler.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, so Front's released that on his front page. If you go to frontalot.com,
his front page.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
His page composed entirely of fronts. If you go there, you can get MP3 of it, and that was, in fact, Mike Doty on the chorus.
Which was, yay, Mike Doty!
There's a song on there that we get to premiere, he said. But we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. He would like to have the album pre-sale set up.
Okay.
Before that happens. So, there's a song on there that put a really big goofy grin on my face, I gotta say.
Yeah. It doesn't take a lot to put a goofy grin on your face.
It doesn't. In fact, you saying that.
I know. Every time I touch you where your swimsuit covers, you get a big goofy grin on your face.
It's my fault for wearing a swimsuit that only covers my armpits, though.
And that's true. And the bottoms of your feet.
Right.
You have a really weird pool. XDanstick wrote into the Twitter, "You guys are going to blow your traveling trader load really fast, and we won't have any more updates the rest of the year, won't we?" That's an awkwardly constructed sentence, but, you know, you should know by now, XDanstick, that fast load blowing is my speciality.
Right, right.
I like the way Jedi is pronounced specialty.
Speciality?
Yeah.
Yeah. The traveling trader has got a lot going on. Traveling trader is.
Don't think that this rate means we're going to run out fast, because we're not going to run out fast.
Don't underestimate the volume of our load.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can complain about the quickness, but you will never be able to complain about the bulk. And Nika Drew wrote, "Hey, Jick, remember that time in the 80s when you banged Nicole Kidman? I remember it. Ah, sweet." I was hoping that he would do that. Because he remembers all kinds of things that I don't remember, so I was hoping that maybe he would pretend to... Oh, fuck. I just acknowledged that he was pretending to remember me banging Nicole Kidman, and now I know that it didn't really happen.
Oh. Maybe this wasn't the time that he was doing that.
Oh, yeah. No, you're probably right. Ah, sweet. That was awesome. It was, like, right after Far and Away. I don't know, was that even in the 80s?
I don't know if Nicole Kidman was bangable in the 80s. Is she my age? Probably. Wait.
If she was alive in the 80s, she was technically bangable.
If there was grass on the field in the 80s?
Yes, then it was technically permissible to play ball.
She is 10 years older than I. So, round about 1985, you could hit that.
Oh, yeah?
If you got in a DeLorean and went back to 1985, you could... So...
No, you mean round about 1985, I did hit that.
Yes. That's exactly...
The reason I don't remember it is because I was only 9 years old, Mr. Skelton. Right.
And your whole life before you were 15 is a blank. It's tragic, really.
I blame it on the drinking.
Yeah. So, sobering thought, if Back to the Future was made now... and he traveled back in time the same amount of time that he traveled in Back to the Future, he would go back to 1980.
Wow.
That's going to be even more sobering when, in 5 years, when he would have gone back to the time where the first Back to the Future is set. The 80s don't seem as far, as long ago as the 50s did in the 80s.
Yeah. Well,
maybe it's
because we were alive during them.
Yeah. I think it's also partly just because culture is a lot more cannibalistic now.
Do you think? I mean, like, I would sort of argue that, like, the 1600s seem as far away as 10 AD, right? Like,
wow.
I mean, you know intellectually that they're not, but I mean, I feel like there's, like, having a concept of that amount of time makes it real in a way that an amount of time that you just don't have a concept of doesn't, right?
Yeah, but I also think that the 70s and 80s have kind of always been with us and have come in and out of vogue several times in a way that the 50s haven't.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I wear a suit and a nice dapper hat every day to work, and I carry an umbrella.
Well, that's, yeah, that's, you're the 50s thing, you're, right? The one. Yeah, everybody had umbrellas in the 50s.
Yeah.
Is it that never was when stopped they were invented. Raining? Yeah. It could have been the 50s or the, like, 1600s that the umbrella was invented, but it's the same, kind of, in my mind.
Let's see. What else we got on this here thing? Aowla says, WoW has XP bonuses for not playing for a while to counter grind. Will KOL ever reward casual play versus intensive commitment? Huh. The thing is, theoretically, at least, there is enough stuff to do in KOL that your goal is never to just crank out as much experience as you can, especially as a casual player, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong about the way that casual players approach this, right? Like, maybe a casual player sees, oh, this bat is too hard for me to fight, and instead of, like, figuring out, you know, oh, maybe I need to get this skill, or maybe I need to, you know, use these combat items or whatever, or get better gear, that maybe what I need to do is just spend 5,000 adventures fighting the bunnies in Mount Noob. But I think in general, KOL is not that kind of thing. And it would get a little weird, like, you know, we had toyed around with the idea. We had not toyed around with it. We had thought about it and then immediately dismissed the idea of there being, like, hey, come on back to KOL, person who's not played for 6 months. We'll give you a bucket with some good food in it or whatever. And then have it be like, you know, welcome back, newbie chow or whatever. And welcome back, newbie is kind of a... it's kind of an oxymoron. Right. But then we were like, no, because we don't want to put in an item that you can only get by not playing.
Right.
Because somebody will feel like they needs it.
So I thought, you know, not an item, but maybe a trophy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I got stabbed.
That's a much better idea.
I got stabbed.
Or like 10 tattoos.
Yeah. Like a pack of tattoos. But the problem is they're temporary tattoos.
Yeah. Azeltier says, happy with the effects on the number of items in the kingdom now that the trader's been pumping out toys? It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that there's, like, a market. It's pretty cool that there's a market. There's always been a market. It's pretty... I'm enjoying the effects on here. Somebody had asked, I think this is in the sort of late Radio Bugbear questions. Let me find this. Jose Cuervo says, any chance of the traveling trader doing a book swap day once all the skill books are out? I have a feeling otherwise there will be far more Ziman Quesadinen than anything else. We expected that there would be far more of the first trader item than there would be of the other skill books, right? First of all, you guys know how we operate. It's not a spoiler to say that there are going to be skill books for every class, right?
Right.
But it has not been as significant as I expected it to be. Let me check now, because we've got, like, what, an hour left before rollover? So there will be you know, some amount of a rush on the stuff as people realize that it is their last chance to get it. But as it stands now, there have been a little less than half as many of this book bought as there were the first book. I expected that ratio to be much, much higher. I feel like it's going to get... It'll get maybe up to two-thirds, I feel like, if there is the amount of purchasing that I expect there to be in the next hour or so. Maybe there won't be, you know? But the plastic balls, man, Riff is a fucking genius.
Yeah.
Is what Riff is. That was the most significant wad sync Riff is an expert wad sinker.
So I hear.
Yeah, he plays wad golf. The course is fairly small, but it has a lot of holes. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's nowhere good. I can damn sure tell you that.
Yeah, I'm
Dr. Dake says, your comments about my cubicle made me feel very dirty. Thanks a lot. Well, you don't have that to worry about anymore, do you, buddy? It's not funny to make fun of people when they leave jobs. That was a pretty cool cubicle.
What cubicle are we talking about now?
Beating off in. the guy's cubicle with a privacy curtain and a box of Kleenex and a bottle of hand lotion. This is not even real. Aileril says, do some ideas for items of the month come from players? the seeds of some ideas for items of the month come from players in the same way that the seeds of a lot of things come from players. We tend to be okay with like co-opting like an individual joke from a player or an individual sort of mechanical idea or one like, you know, somebody was like, hey, the June Familiar next year should drop absinthe as its thing that it does to open up new zones. We're like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And so then, you know, that was the idea, right? This thing should use absinthe as its narrative mechanism for working. And like, to that extent, like, yeah, you know, we'll like the stuff that we use from player suggestions usually boils down to like a sentence, right? If somebody was like, hey, I got an idea for a zone, here's a list of all the monsters and everything they drop, we're just like basically not going to read that, right?
Yeah.
King Stupid says, did you see that Jonathan Colton is going to open for They Might Be Giants? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's coming nowhere near us, though, apparently.
Aw.
I mean,
are They Might Be Giants coming anywhere near us?
Near us is kind of a misnomer.
Oh, yeah, wait, we're not in the same place anymore.
Yeah. So on their current tour, he appears to be Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Virginia.
Great.
So your consolation prize for living in Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Virginia is that you get to watch Jonathan Colton play with They Might Be Giants.
But every day you wake up and you do a bunch of shit that Alabama wants you to do. See, really, Christian Slater was saved from a horrible fate in True Romance, right?
Yeah.
Like being killed when he was young. What was his name in that? It was Clarence.
Yeah.
Clarence was saved from turning into that dude from that Dodge commercial.
Yeah.
Clarence already had a cool car. That was a cooler car than that Dodge, too.
Do we assume that he died at the end of True Romance? Because I always like to think he made it out.
Oh, yeah? I thought I remembered him dying. I don't know.
He gets shot.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Elvis saves him.
Yeah.
Watertails wrote, guys, I have a 3-hour flight tomorrow. Do y'all have any recommendations for small PC games that run on awful lappies? I bet that your laptop, no matter how crappy it is, would run Plants vs. Zombies.
Hmm.
And that's a fucking game for a 3-hour flight if ever I heard one or had one. I would recommend Plants vs. Zombies to anyone, even people who don't like video games.
I have been getting into tower defense games.
You have?
But I haven't played that one, so I probably should.
It is not. It is a defense game. I guess it is a tower defense game. It's got a sort of novel mechanic relative to a lot of tower defense games. But no, I guess it is fair and accurate to describe it as a tower defense game. It's just a really good game. Josh the Sauce says, do it, click the button, roll out the ascension suits. But it doesn't take just a click of a button. It takes me drawing art for tattoos. And I don't know why, but drawing tattoos is the thing that I hate more than any other. You know, and here, I'm going to whine about my job for a minute. I'm going to whine about my grown-up responsibilities, and I'm going to say, I will draw a tattoo for each of these outfits. And because I do that, I will gamble with a lot of your donation money. Man's last stand. I wish I had had a way to end that when I started it, so I didn't have to think of one on the fly. God.
You should do less of your thinking on the fly.
That's
think with your brain.
Right. Would you describe your dick as being on your fly?
Occasionally.
I was reading about a prankster of yore who one of his favorite things to do was to walk around with a cow's udder hanging out of his pants and then cut it off in front of people. Watertail says, Jake, you should definitely listen to Dan Savage's podcast. This week he gave a 16-year-old girl advice on giving blowjobs. Well, that's something I can get behind. A 16-year-old girl, I mean.
Why would you want to be behind her if she's giving blowjobs?
So that I can watch.
It's so you can get a better view at the guy's dick, isn't it?
Yeah, because that's the part I care about. No, Mr. Skullhead, you're the one that likes looking at dudes' dicks.
Oh, right, I forgot.
That was in case you didn't notice it, people, the rhetorical technique, nuh-uh, that's you.
Yeah.
It's a powerful technique.
Try it at home or school.
You can almost always use it.
Try the rubber and glue variant.
Oh, yeah. Or the classic, I know you are, but what am I, gambit?
Ah, yes.
Gosh, remember Pee-wee?
Vaguely.
Man, speaking of Pee-wee, I'm getting close to the end of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you know what I have to say about the second half of the last season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
What's that?
Is that contrary to my regular MO, I feel like Felicia Day was just not nearly as attractive when she was younger.
Hmm. I think it's the hair.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Somebody was talking about reading the going through the old radio archives and feeling like our argument, our screaming match about offensive player names was the best radio that they had ever heard.
Hmm.
Badger asks you to go over again why you dislike Amanda Palmer and the Dresden Dolls and that she and Neil Gaiman are engaged now. I feel like you've done this before, though.
I know that she... I don't think she's a bad person or anything. I just think her singing voice is terrible.
Do you think that he is a cradle robber? I almost said grave robber, just because that seems like more like a thing that that Neil Gaiman would be into.
Isn't
there like a 20-year difference between their ages?
Something like that. I was trying to figure out. She, I don't know. She's kind of irritating in her. Attention whoring.
Oh, yeah.
And she showed up at the Grammys or the Golden Globes in a see-through dress with unshaven armpits. And she's like, look at my naked nipples and my hairy armpits. Look upon me in despair.
Did she really say that?
No, but she was thinking it.
Why did she get invited to the Golden Globes?
She went with Neil Gaiman because he was invited for Coraline.
Oh, I see. Do you suppose that he enjoys looking at her golden globes?
Probably.
Do you think that's what he calls them?
You know, she's...
By which I mean her... These gold spheres that she keeps at her house.
She's 20 years younger than he is.
Yeah?
But...
That's a sin, Mr. Skullhead.
But she's also as old as you are. So at that point, she's not really in a cradle.
Neil Gaiman's like early 50s?
Yeah. I think he just turned 50. And she is 33. And
well,
she's
that's
just
not 20 years. Yeah. You don't know maths.
33.
That's what Neil Gaiman would call them. 70. He would call them maths.
He would, because he's all British. Yeah, she's personality-wise, couldn't say. You know, she's clearly smart enough to hang out with Neil Gaiman, but goddamn, that is one of the most annoying voices in music.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard any song except that coin-operated boy song.
That should be enough. Just a coin-operated boy.
Oh, God, Jesus. You know what Oh, Christ. Okay, man, now I hate her. Now I hate that the band. Not her. She's probably cool. But I heard a fucking live cover in, like, a bookstore. She did a cover of Two-Headed Boy, and it made me want to fucking shoot myself.
Wow, I'm going to have to look that up.
Because that's a song that even the original, the voice was annoying enough that you stopped listening to it the first time.
Right.
At a party. Oh. Man, if this question had not come in, you know what, Badgerous? Fuck you. Because if you hadn't sent that question in, I would not have remembered that traumatic moment. And now that I've talked about it, processed it on this level, I'm never going to forget it. It's going to haunt me till my grave. There's which Neil Gaiman will then rob.
I have a couple of covers of Neutral Milk Hotel by the lead singer of Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh, yeah?
They're decent. I have a feeling that they would fill you with rage, but...
I have not liked any covers of Neutral Milk Hotel that I have heard.
I like Amplitude's cover of Communist Daughter.
Did he record one?
Yeah, he got Elfie Fett to play cello, and for the part that's horns, the part that's like a trumpet duet, he did on a 12-string guitar.
Hmm.
So that was really pretty.
I wouldn't mind hearing that. But yeah, even the Mountain Goats, like...
The Mountain Goats one bothered me, because I got the feeling he just got tired of people saying, dude, cover Neutral Milk Hotel. It's like he forgets the lyrics halfway through, and...
Yeah, that was...
I understand the song's got a lot of lyrics, but if you're going to sing it in front of people, you should probably know them all.
Should know them, yeah. Royal Tonberry wrote, would it be interesting if a monster's level was less than your base main stat, or buffed if buffed is less than base, then the monster's monster level equals your buffed main stat? In particular, that wouldn't make hard monsters any harder or more lucrative, but it would make low-level monsters much less boring if you had to back farm. I feel like that what is fundamentally the most satisfying thing about an RPG in which your stats get bigger over time is working your way up to the point where you are just, and this is like a sort of a technical game theory term, so bear with me if you don't understand the jargon, but raping the shit out of lower level monsters.
Mm.
And in a case, like, I can understand why somebody would want this, right? I can understand why somebody would look at that and think, oh yeah, that's a thing that would be cool if a game did it. But to me, it smacks of the Oblivion thing where every monster in the game is scaled to your level, which just kind of makes things not make any sense. And I'm not going to say that this is a bad idea because it breaks immersion, because KOL does not have what is classically considered immersion, but it does have some rules of internal consistency, right? And that I feel like would just be weird to make it so any monster that was lower level than you got cranked up to your level, because I mean then there would be no monster in the game that you were like guaranteed to be able to hit, right? Because it would just like switch back down to like the 50-50 chance that you have against an exactly like leveled monster, and like that kind of sucks, you know.
Yeah.
Missing is a thing that's sort of a punishment for trying to fight above your head, as opposed to like a normal thing that should happen a lot, right? yeah. Grimdill says, this came up in chat. Any thoughts of making the Groundhog Day gifts in the nearby plains into some sort of mini in-game like whack-a-mole? No. Tiny Plastic Yar says, they don't seem to cast a shadow. Does that mean that winter is over?
Mm. Apparently the official here. Groundhog saw his shadow.
Did the official Groundhog see his shadow?
Yeah. And so we have 6 more weeks of Bill Murray, which is fine unless you're Boozer Bear.
Yeah, I don't understand why that dude hates Bill Murray so much.
Because maybe he did because a bad job Bill playing Hunter S. Thompson.
Murdered his family.
And murdered his
family. No, I do know that. That is not a real reason. I'm sorry.
It takes a special kind of mind. Say, like, that... Well, you know, like... I'm not going to watch another Ron Howard movie because he made The Grinch. With a
really?
Beautiful mind and... Okay, I mean, so it takes like 3 or 4 bad movies from somebody to make me write them off.
was going to say, hasn't Ron Howard written some good... But the thing is, if a movie came out that Ron Howard directed and it was really fucking good, and I told you, hey man, this movie is really fucking good, you should give it a chance, you would watch it. You wouldn't like refuse to watch it because, no, I hate Ron Howard, so even the good stuff that Ron Howard does sucks. Right?
I would ask you, like, is it as good as A Beautiful Mind, that wonderful movie that you love? And if you said yes, I would say, sorry, I'm not watching it.
But listen, do not misrepresent me to the new kids. I'm not a guy who thinks that A Beautiful Mind is a great fucking movie. It just wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
it was not a movie. It was no Gladiator, right? It was not like a movie that was so bad that I was pissed off that I watched it.
And see, I thought Gladiator was fine.
Ugh. Fuck you.
It only pissed me off that it won an Oscar, because I didn't think it deserved it. See Avatar in a couple of weeks, which is going to win an Oscar and not deserve it.
Yeah, you don't think Avatar deserves an Oscar?
I really don't think it deserves a Best Picture. It's no Forrest Gump.
Did Forrest Gump win an Oscar?
Yeah, it beat Pulp Fiction.
That seems reasonable to me, honestly.
It's hard to get upset. It's the same thing as, like, being mad about ads pandering to people. Like, so it's an Oscar. It went to this guy who liked it. Wow.
Yeah. You know.
Has, like, nothing to do with me.
The Oscars don't really mean anything to me, and so it's hard for their sanctity to be violated.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like the reason that the Oscars don't mean anything to me is because Gladiator won one, and I was like, oh, I see. These are total bullshit. I guess I don't care anymore. I mean, maybe someday there will be a really good Oscars, and you will say, no, dude, you should watch it. It's really good. Don't pay attention to its initial treachery. And I'll be like, no, I still don't believe you. This is what you told me about fucking Sweeney Todd. No, you didn't tell me anything about Sweeney Todd.
I told you it was terrible.
No, I know. I'm trying to think of something that you tried to
Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yeah, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Sure. All right. You know, that is one of those things. Like, so many people that I like and respect like Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Which, doesn't that seem to indicate that we're doing it wrong?
I guess, maybe, but I don't know. You know, so this girl made, like, a mixtape for me once. And, you know, it was a mix CD because it's the modern age. But and it had, like, all of this just super awesome music. I'm like, oh, God, this is great. And then there's, like, a song from fucking Hedwig and the goddamn Angry Cocksucking Inch.
Exactly.
And I'm like, ugh, what is wrong with people? What is wrong with everyone that I respect? Oh, yeah, no. I mean, that does mean that it's a problem with me, right? But
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe I should watch it again. Yeah. I don't remember the circumstances under which I watched. Were you with me when I watched it the first time?
Did you watch it with somebody just punching you in the balls every couple of minutes?
Oh, that might have been it.
Because that really gets me to hate movies.
I think that was the period of time in my life where I was spending most of my weekends hanging out with Nut Punch McGillicuddy.
Right.
That by bastard. Which I mean Disco Banjo. No. He only does the nut punching when he's drunk, and he doesn't drink anymore. Like, that's not true.
Yeah, I was gonna say, really?
He grew out of the nut punching. There's drama in the LBC, Mr. Skullhead.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Klaatu says, my kids have spent a lot of time enjoying ball pits, and sometimes they find things.
Do they?
could we find things in our clan ball pits on occasion, e.g. a Happy Meal toy / stuffy, a sock, or a few chicken nugget equivalents? Now, you know, the problem with that is, like, that's the thing. We'd be like, oh, we got this sweet idea. It's a ball pit. And they'd be like, hey, I know. Let's make it so you can find things in the ball pit. And then it's, like, another idea that's so big that it never gets done.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that the ball pit works out. I like taking that sentence as two unrelated stories, though. My kids have spent a lot of time enjoying ball pits, and sometimes they find things.
Everywhere in the world.
Yeah, you know, like, sometimes they are, you know, sometimes they find the martini glass in the little drawing in their Highlights magazine. Because They're usually hiding a martini glass. I literally could not think of a single object that might be in a hidden picture puzzle in a Highlights magazine, except for martini glass. Why can I not think of a good example, like a good enough example that it works in the joke, right?
Yeah.
Find the anchor.
There you go. All right, like a hedgehog, maybe. I don't know.
But a hedgehog. I mean, why wouldn't it? What, like, what's the difference between a hedgehog hidden in a picture and a picture of a hedgehog? I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about an anchor. Right?
The degree of difficulty in finding the hedgehog, obviously.
Oh, I see. Evil Kitten says, how close is the Nemesis quest to rolling out? 2 weeks! I did a bunch of arts today. Really, I didn't. I did a bunch of arts while I was in San Francisco, and I finally scanned them and put them into the game today. Not really into the game. Yeah. Let's see. Argus 5 says, will there be a miscellaneous discoveries section? It looks like it was implemented and then went back in its hidey hole. I like the notion that every feature of this game has a hidey hole that it can go back into.
Yeah.
I kind of just like the idea of a hidey hole. I was driving... Man, I'll tell you, man, I am beset upon just every moment of every day. I was driving home, Mr. Skullhead, and the on-ramp to the freeway that gets me from the office to my house was closed.
Oh.
So I had to drive up onto the Indian reservation, Mr. Skullhead, in order to get from my office to my house. I could have been scalped. I could have had my eyelids cut off and been suspended in a cage in the sun for days.
You could have been buried up to your neck in an anthill.
That's true. Any number of things could have happened to me because that on-ramp was closed. And there wasn't a sign. There was just a cop. I got up there and there was a cop. And I'm like, oh, I better turn around and go back down to sort of, you know, Union territory so that I can make it to my house. And then I was like, nah, there's a lot of cars backed up at that intersection. I'm just going to go forward. I'm going to pioneer. I'm going to try and exhibit the pioneer spirit of my ancestors and drive my way through Indian territory to make it to my house. Because that's what they did. That's what they were looking for.
Your house?
My pioneer ancestors were looking for their houses in a sort of a figurative way, you know, because they knew that destiny had manifested a house for them somewhere.
Right. After it turned on the radio.
Oh, but anyway, what I was gonna say was, I saw an adopt-a-highway. Boy, you know, at the beginning of this show, somebody certainly did ring my doorbell like 30 times in a row, and towards the end of the show, somebody certainly is sending me like 40 or 50 text messages in a row, and I forgot to turn my phone to silent. Anyway, I saw an adopt-a-highway sign, and it was the Arizona Geocachers, and I was thinking, I like to go search out a geocache every once and again. I should get back into geocaching. And then here we are talking about hidey holes, which, in my mind, there is no finer representation of the concept of a hidey hole than that of the geocache. Hmm.
That would bring things almost as full circle as if the text messages you're getting are, hey, why didn't you answer your door 2 hours ago?
Right. I'm outside and on fire. I don't know who it would be who would decide that they were on fire and that it was time to come to my house. I really, you know, I don't know who would ring my doorbell. Like, I was like, you know what, it's fucking kids, man. You know what they do? They come up and they probably rang my doorbell so that I would come out and stomp on the flaming bag of poop that they put on my porch. You know what some fucking kids did? Well, at least I think it's kids.
Did they walk on your lawn?
No. So I had this thing that I got for my birthday from our sculptor friend Dave, where he had made a bunch of casts of the head of this girl that he dated, who, by the way, had the most annoying laugh of anyone that I've ever actually met in person.
Hmm.
Right. This was like Fran Drescher level. And she was really easily amused, so it came up a lot. But he made these casts of her head, right? And then, or he made a cast of her head, and then just made like dozens of plaster heads of this girl that he then just gave to people, right? There's like a pyramid of them in front of the pretentious artist's house, right? Like, I think they just bought a bunch of extras from him because he was also selling them at his shows. But I had one, and I had put it in a place on my porch where a lot of water would fall onto it when it rained, and so it was like just this sort of like, you know, I liked the idea of it as a kind of a very slow piece of performance art where this head was slowly eroding on my porch.
It was certainly creepy.
And some kids fucking stole it.
Maybe that was part of the art.
And it was gone.
Maybe they felt that they were participants in the art.
That's a good point. I can't be mad anymore. You're right. Mm-hmm. The destiny of that annoying laugh girl's head was clearly to be part of an art project that I did not necessarily get to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, man. You've given me a whole new perspective.
Yeah, they figured out that it was a comment on, like, inevitability and futility and thought, what better way?
Yeah. Wow. Maybe those Super Bowl commercials were misogynist.
Nah.
We've all learned a valuable lesson tonight, Mr. Skullhead.
We've learned that if you're not crazy or evil, you should probably come date Jake.
Sweet.
Because you'd be the first.
Oh! I could, you know, what is it? Crazy, evil, and ugly? Pick any two. I'm okay with crazy.
What's the inverse of smart, sexy, insane, and sane? So, dumb, ugly, or crazy? Pick one. Perfect.
Wait. Yeah, dumb, ugly, or crazy.
Pick one.
Pick one? Yeah. Great. Life is a cruel fucking joke, Mr. Skullhead.
Well, you know, I say that because my wife is nuts. But she's not evil.
Yeah?
She's completely crazy, but she's not evil. I think you just gotta not go ahead and splurge on the evil upgrade when you're dating women.
Yeah, it's just, they sell it so hard, you know? Like, it's just high pressure.
Do you want floor mats and evil?
Sleeves fall. leather seats.
Well,
really, sort of every. I mean, with a broad enough definition of leather, every woman has a leather seat. Right?
Oh. All right, we should probably get off the radio. Sadly. Oh, we should get off the radio everyone. Happily, and sadly, it's time to do so. So, we'll see you next week, folks.
Bye bye.
They all live on donuts and goose meat, and they leave the house without packing heat. Never even bring their guns to the mall. And you know what else is too funny? Their stupid monopoly money can't take them seriously at all. Well, maple syrup and snow. Real sports. They think her silly accent is so cute. Can't understand a thing they're talking about. Sure, they got their national health care, cheaper meds for primers and clean air. Then again, well, they got Celine Dion. Eat their wedding crab macaroni and dream of fried when a zamboni. The truth, it makes me kinda nervous.